Willkommen zu Everyday Drinkers Episode 31 Oktoberfest. Vielen Dank für Zuhören. We ask that you respect the laws and drink responsibly. I'm your host, Derek Sommer, and I have with me today a boatload of people that turned into a small, kind of like rubber raft of people that just jumped on at the last minute and everybody else is dead. So it went from a large group of people to a very small subset of people. We've got Doug, Dave, Kate, and Luke, and myself.
You've been snorting Kool-Aid again?
Yeah, I want to know what happened at the first. You were, like, doing fine, and then you had, like, a slight aneurysm. And you're like,
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
All right, continue.
But I'm back. I'm back.
I'm just always amazed at the amount of things that come out of your mouth where I just have to sit back and just go, wow.
Dude, that's what makes it so much fun.
Anyway, everybody's stunned.
All right. Anyway, welcome to episode 31. And what we're going to do today is something a little... I thought we did this last year, but I can't find it. Maybe there's a hidden episode.
I don't think we did Oktoberfest before.
I don't think we did. I don't think we had our shit together, to be honest.
I think you might be right.
And so... somebody had the bright idea. Was it Kate? Because she usually has bright ideas. Oh, no. It was Doug.
Me.
Doug had a bright idea. His idea was, hey, let's have a little Oktoberfest celebration because it only makes sense since it's October. And I was like, hey, that's a good excuse to drink. And
yeah, plus this is the appropriate time. And it's not like when you can first start getting Oktoberfest beers, which is kind of like towards the beginning, mid-September. Through the end of October and mid-November, actually in the end of November. Yeah. But this is the appropriate time to be drinking Oktoberfest beers, damn it.
It is true. I do remember we did an episode for Thanksgiving where I think we had some maybe Oktoberfest styles. Or I remember Kate and maybe it was Dave. Just somebody was talking about this this gross Oktoberfest beer that they had had. And I don't remember what the brand was. It was like Red Hook or something. I don't remember. But we were talking about the spices.
Brooklyn?
I don't know. I don't remember. I can't recall what it is, and I'm too damn lazy to go back and listen to it again. But the sense of it was that there was some different spices and flavors that were unenjoyable to the palate.
Oh, that's the Harpoon Christmas warmer.
Oh, that might have been the Christmas warmer. That's right.
Yeah, that was evil.
Different holiday.
Awful.
Okay, so Oktoberfest, we're in the clear. Because I was hurt. I was worried. When I went to look for stuff, I was like, I don't know what I don't want to have here. So I don't know. Doug, since you're the first on my list and you start with a D, not that there's any significance there because we all have Ds except for Luke and Kate. What do you...
Dave is D-A.
D-A.
Yeah.
Oh,
if we were going alphabetically,
Dave kind of...
I stop rules. Alphabetical at the first letter just to let you know. All right, so...
And you're a programmer.
I think we should have a little bit of a cage match between the two Ds. Actually, wait, no, three Ds.
Well... I'm bubble sorting this shit up, but I'm stopping halfway through the sort, so I've got Doug.
All right. Hold on. Let me figure out which one I'm sipping on right now. What?
Well, I was just going to ask you to enumerate your entire list since we're talking about programming.
All right. I have three that I have tried this evening. The Victory Fest Beer, Oktoberfest Seasonal. The Mendocino Fall Seasonal Autumn Lager, which is a Marzen style, and the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest Seasonal.
Excellent. And so everything you have is definitely fit for the Oktoberfest. It wasn't just I guess everything we're going to have is going to have a seasonal marking on it, right? There's nothing, I don't think, in this list of things that are out during this time of year normally. Like, you can't buy any of this stuff any other time.
The only thing that I will, in the event you are listening to this and you're not familiar with the different styles of Oktoberfest and fall beers, there is a huge difference between a beer that says Oktoberfest and something that says a fall seasonal. Because if you get into the fall seasonals, you end up something like with pumpkin beers or something that tastes like...
I did see a lot of that at the store.
No, I see a pumpkin beer on our list, but I was...
That's not Oktoberfest.
I didn't even know that. I instantly called it out. Kate, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But I Googled it, and it said it was one of the top five Oktoberfest beers. So I was like, hell yeah, I'm getting that because I like it anyway.
No, I think that's... I think I'm going to defend Kate and say that I think a fall seasonal, since it comes out in fall... and Oktoberfest happens in the fall, there's going to be some similarities from the public-wise, like the common man buying a beer. I went to the store, and I saw a crap ton of pumpkin ales and pumpkin drinks.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm sure they're exploiting everything, but it's a seasonal, and I don't know if Shipyard has an Oktoberfest.
They might not. I did see their Pumpkinhead, though.
There was everywhere, dude. It was on the, you know what they call the edge of the aisles, the caps? They had it capped everywhere. It was like, oh, buy this. So they are planning to move a lot of Pumpkinhead. I hope it's good.
I'm sorry, but generally the fall beers make me cry.
Because of the spiciness?
Yeah, a lot of people don't like that fake kind of flavory taste.
Yeah, right. It depends on how far overboard they go.
I can only have like one or two of these, but yeah. A lot of people can't have any.
All right. So, Luke, you're the only one on the list that didn't write what you have. Are you embarrassed?
No. I was just very last-minute kind of person looking through and, you know, just like all the other episodes that I've been on.
Did you go shopping in your refrigerator?
I did for one beer.
Okay.
But the other two, I did not.
Oh, you have three beers.
I do.
That is hardcore for somebody who 4 months ago didn't drink any beer.
Yeah. Ever. See, I decided to try out something new and crazy.
You are the hardcore. So what are you drinking?
Earlier had a Leinenkugel's Oktoberfest. I am currently drinking a New Belgium Hoptober Golden Ale. And I have lined up a local brewery, Millstream Brewing Company from Amana, Iowa, their Oktoberfest lager.
So they're all seasonal, October-y style beers. Hoptoberfest.
That's what I'm hoping.
That sounds like an Oktoberfest beer with hops.
Yeah.
I am the marketing.
That was the New Belgian, right?
Correct.
How did you like that?
Uh-oh.
See, that's a
He's setting you
that's
up
a
right now.
Question.
He's setting you
because,
up.
Because, yeah.
He's calling you out.
I will admit I was very worried when I was picking this out in the store because it's called Hoptober, and I typically don't like the hoppy beer. Much more of a wheat kind of beer with the Belgian kind of things. And it's definitely more bitter than I prefer. I'm drinking it okay, but I probably won't really ever intentionally get it again, I don't think.
Gotcha.
That would be now you are the opposite, Doug, right? You're the one who's like, I want more hops. I want to just eat the hops raw.
Actually, I've kind of cooled to hoppy beers lately. As a matter of fact, I've specifically gone to not getting high gravity uber hopped beers because
the hops
touch you
in a bad place.
It's just, I don't know. I just
did they touch
for
you
the
in
time
your hops?
Being for the
Show
time
us
being
when they touched you.
I've lost it kind of on the back of my, never mind.
I'm about to get a Freudian slip there.
Yeah. I always appreciate how I think like 2 milliseconds before I actually talk. Anyway, I've just cooled to it. I've just hit a wall with them, so I'm not really into hops. That's why the idea of doing the Oktoberfest beers for this podcast was very ideal for my palate at this time.
You don't find a lot of hop inside of an Oktoberfest beer, or you don't find hops that are too bitter, over hop?
I don't find that the hops are in any way, shape, or form overwhelming in any of the beers, save the Hoptoberfest. That's the only over hopped Oktoberfest that I've ever had. Generally, the hop is mild. It kind of pokes out a little bit, but not too much. It has a nice balance. You taste more the malt, generally, than the hop.
I can see where you're coming from. I think that makes sense and is the common theme between them. But when you call out something called Hoptoberfest, I guess everybody knows what they're getting into, which is good because a lot of the beers that make hoppy beers call it out. Like this is a double hop or a hop frog. You know, they give it some crazy name like Hoptoberfest to let you know this is for the serious hop enthusiast. And I don't really think it changes the perception of, like, from a beer snob point of view. There are just people who like over hops or lots of hops, and there's people who don't.
Yep.
And I don't think it makes you good or bad beer drinker in either case. I think it's just a preference.
I would agree.
Similar to, like, a dry wine and a not dry wine.
Yep. And I believe that there's definitely a point where you can get where you've been drinking those types of beers for so long that eventually they just, or at least in my experience, it just wore on me.
I can see that. And it's
anyway,
time for change.
So I'm sorry, Luke. You had the Hoptoberfest. What were the other two?
The other ones was the Leinenkugel Oktoberfest and the Millstream Brewing Oktoberfest Lager.
I've never heard of the third. That must be local to you.
That's what he
said. Yeah, it's local to Amana.
But that's awesome because, you know, there in some ways, a good seasonal, I think, should come out of your local area like it would in Germany.
That's what I'm hoping for, yeah.
So you're playing on that whole celebration of October.
Yeah.
Awesome. I tried to go both directions. So I not necessarily local, but local to the country. And then local to not the country, which would be Germany in this case. So I went with the Dogtoberfest. This is a flying dog seasonal. It's a Märzen with some great, neat little properties. It seems to have the classic color I'm looking for, so I'm hoping that is going to compare well against the Spaten Oktoberfest or Märzen, which is an imported Oktoberfest Spaten brand. So if you've had Spaten before, then you'll know it's a Munich, specifically Munich imported beer, which makes perfect sense because Oktoberfest is centered around Munich. So I figured, why not go right to the homeland? And I think I did so.
Yeah, definitely. So
imported, not imported. One from Maryland or Colorado, depending on, I don't know where this specific brew came from, probably Maryland. And then one from Munich. Dave, what do you got?
Well, I've got one that counts and one that doesn't.
Wait, what? Oh, because it's seasonal and now you're going to take offense?
I'll explain in a second. So the one that counts is Polaner Oktoberfest. Was it Märzen?
Märzen. It's Märzen in German, but I think we call it Märzen,
which makes it very rock and roll.
It makes it the high A. Nice. Like that long A, Mär. Because März is March in German, so Märzen would be the beer that was brewed in March.
Yeah, whatever. English already pulled what it needed from German, so.
It already made it better.
Yeah. And the other one that doesn't count is one that I dredged up from the back of the fridge that I didn't know was in there. So this means it's from last year.
Oh,
nice. I'll tell you, it didn't age well.
Does it have flavonoids? Does it have flavonoids in it?
There wasn't any big chunks in it.
I have flavonoids, yeah.
Settling out a little bit. And that one was a Weihenstephaner.
Weihen?
Weihenstephaner.
V-W?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the V sound.
And it was called Festbier. And I remember it being good. Not so good this time, so we're just going to forget that one happened.
So you already gave it a try to see if it was palatable?
Yeah, and it really kind of wasn't. I still drank it, but it wasn't good.
But you get that little vinegary, like, flavonoid in there where you get the stuff that kind of coats the side and the bottom, and it looks almost like sea monkeys floating in there. But when you drink it, it seems fine, but it's just got that little...
It just tasted like you get hauled through some German guy's ass that's been wearing lederhosen for 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's some days where that might be justified. So I don't know what you have against the German lederhosen, but okay.
I find they chafe a little. That's the problem.
This is true.
So I tend to wear dirndls myself.
And he doesn't like underwear, so, you know, that can always be bad. All right, so
I don't know. On this Millstream brewing bottle, the guy in lederhosen seems to be having a delightful little time. No chafing to speak of. I mean, he's got his arms up in the air like he just don't care and everything.
Maybe he's screaming in pain.
If there's an inherent problem with leather shorts, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It went out in the 80s. I mean, Whitesnake.
I knew it was going down the wrong path there with Luke, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whoa, Kate.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Oh, do you want me to go?
Well, we're going to see how well you do, because you got robotic for a second there, but we'll see how it goes. What are you drinking?
Can you not hear me? Am I still distorted?
No, now you seem fine.
No.
All right. So I'm drinking Pumpkinhead Ale by Shipyard, which I guess is autumn seasonal, not so much Oktoberfest. If you don't like pumpkin flavoring, you're probably not going to like it that much, but it actually doesn't really taste that much like pumpkin. There's a lot of spices in there, but it's that sort of manufactured sweetness that some people don't really like in their beer. This definitely, it smells kind of cinnamony, and it tastes kind of like nutmeg, cinnamon. It doesn't really taste like pumpkin that much, but it definitely is very sweet. I don't know, can a beer be very carbonated but not leave any kind of a lacing on the glass? Are the two...
Yes. The answer to that would be, I believe, a lot of force carbonation,
okay.
Not a lot of actual fermentation carbonation.
That's probably the case with this particular beer. It's very, very carbonated, but there's no lacing at all in the glass. And it's so carbonated that, you know, maybe it is. I don't know if force carbonation would make it more carbonated, but it's definitely almost like soda. It's 4.5% alcohol by volume, so I guess it's pretty run of the mill.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, pretty normal. I personally really like it. They go down pretty easy, but again, if you're not a fan of that added sweetness to your beer, you're probably not going to like it that much. But it's definitely more of a spicy beer than a pumpkin type of beer.
So, but in the end, I think that is it really? I don't know if they would consider it. I know Shipyard wouldn't consider it a manufactured taste. I don't think, because it's not like they added a flavoring.
Right.
I don't think. I mean, I guess they could have, but I'm going to take them on, like, I'm going to say that they put something into the brew while it was being made that gave it, like, cinnamon flavors. Maybe, like, I don't know, cinnamon or, you know,
really?
Maybe some pumpkin something. I don't know, maybe they could sit some pumpkin in there for a little bit and then bring it out. You know, don't leave it in there too long to get a little pumpkin-y to it.
I think that they show the vat a pumpkin and then wheel the pumpkin out.
I guess
that way.
You're probably right. I think that when I say manufactured, I guess like that kind of fake kind of taste. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Where it doesn't really yep. taste like it belongs in there?
It tastes like it's yeah. not part of the Rheinheitsgebot, which is that German thing that says you can only have four ingredients, barley, hops, malt, and yeast. Anything more is uncivilized.
So, yeah, I think that, I mean, I like it. I think it's kind of subtle and spicy, but if anybody doesn't like that added flavor, they're going to be kind of disgusted, I think. But if you're open to trying that kind of thing, this would be a good place to start, I think, because it's not super strong. It doesn't taste, you know, overly pumpkin-y. It's more of a spicy kind of a beer. But if that's just not your thing at all, then, you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out what my spotting is here. I don't know what they got to put this percentage on here. It says malt liquor in the corner, which is kind of funny. but yeah, maybe in Germany, they don't have to tell you how much alcohol's in it. Probably like 5%, I'm going to guess.
It's a safe bet.
My other one here, the Dogtoberfest doesn't have... Okay, 5.3. So that one's right on the label. The other one must be in German. Maybe that's what it is.
Numbers are in German.
Yeah. Numbers in German are very tough. No, probably not. So, okay, that's what everybody's got to drink. I still think we all kind of fit in the Oktoberfest thing, regardless of whether it says Oktoberfest on the label. Seasonally wise, I found that I kind of was leaning towards the pumpkin head at first, and I think it was marketing that was doing it for me. Like, it has a nice box and with a big pumpkin on it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Yeah, I mean, it was nice. The problem is I went in originally with, like, I want to get Dogtoberfest, and I want to get Spaten, if I could. And I didn't think I would find them all, but they had so many cool brews there. This is the time to buy, of course, seasonals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get them later. You can get them after October, but I don't know how long they've been there. Like the case of Dave, they might have been in his refrigerator for 6 years. I have a Dave. Wow. If you want to come over, I have some winter brews from last winter and maybe the winter before that I can give you.
Yeah, I think no.
Okay, because I was pouring them down the drain. Because literally, I was cracking them open and just pouring them down the drain. Because every time I got one, they had so many little floaty flavonoids, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I just started dumping them. I didn't want to get sick. I don't know if that's a problem for
many
people.
I think my tetanus shot is up to date, but yeah, I don't think I really want to risk that.
Right. I can understand that. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's do a little Oktoberfest. And I want to ask some people about their brews, starting with Doug. I think Doug has the most. You got three. I got two. Luke, you've got...
Luke's got three.
Oh, yeah.
Three.
I can't tell because he didn't write anything. So he's got three.
Luke, update your thing. Oh, damn it.
That's hard. I know, but it's okay. You just work at whatever pace you want. We're there for you.
Okay.
So Oktoberfest is a time to reflect on self-awareness. No, not really. It's a 16-day festival held in Munich, München. It started on September 19th, the day I flew out of Germany this year. I left on Oktoberfest.
So speaking from experience, if you were over there with Reinhard and Oliver,
yeah.
It was probably a safe bet to escape.
Well, since I showed you a picture of Oliver when he came, right? They were here 2 weeks ago, so we celebrated Oktoberfest a couple days early. If you go to everydaydrinkers.tv and you look at the Scorpion Bowl and the first edition of the Honolulu Lulu, you'll see both of them in it. And so we had a little cocktail party. I'm going to just deflect from the Oktoberfest for a second because this is awesome. Germans, they can drink a lot, and it's amazing how far you can take it, but I was able to knock one out, so I felt slightly proud. However, one went the exact same route Doug did when he had scorpion bowls at my house. Except he didn't boot at the stairway. He waited until he got home.
Wait, he failed.
Was that Reinhard?
No, Reinhard never. I've never seen Reinhard get that drunk.
I was going to say, because if he booted, it would be like a freaking tidal wave.
Yeah, it would not be good. No, what Oliver did is he came over. We tried. I've got a few alcohols here, so he tried some of the higher end tequilas that I have. He did a couple high end rums. Like when I say couple, I mean like 4 ounces a shot.
Like 12.
Right. Well, he did like 3 or 4 shots of tequila. He did about 5 ounces of a really nice rum. He did 2 whiskey sours. Then we made it. We went up, did the videos. He was kind of feeling happy. And then we did that video. He drank his scorpion bowl and the rest of the pitcher that I made, besides the one that I was drinking. Then he came downstairs and was like, wow, you know, that was a lot. So he poured another 5 ounces of rum. He finished that. And then he said, I need food. And that was when he passed out. And so he never actually ate for a day after that. But he passed out on the wooden chair in the living room, that was, or in the kitchen, which was interesting. So I got a picture of that. And they had to help him get out, like pretty much carry him to the car. And then he ran around in circles in the driveway, which seems to be really popular. People come over, and when they get drunk, they, for some reason, it's a good time to run around in circles in my driving, in my parking lot. I don't know why. So they got him in the car. He didn't boot in the car, which is nice. And they got him all the way to the hotel, and he passed out. He did get on his flight the next day, so everything went well. But he drank a lot, so I can only imagine how much beer he can consume. Because it's only, what, 5 to 8% alcohol. He was drinking 40-plus proof, or sorry, 80-plus proof alcohol. They know how to drink. Stuff.
How on earth did you make it so that you and Reinhardt were in the same frame and roughly at the same level?
I just scooted over a little bit.
There's some magic going on there.
No, there was no magic. We got photos.
You come up to like his belt buckle,
dude. I put the photos on Facebook, so it's real.
But just to put it into context,
oh, yeah, another reason that I need to delete my Facebook page ASAP.
What's wrong?
God damn,
you don't have.
I fucking hate Facebook.
What?
No, I do.
Facebook.com.
Because of shit like what you just said.
What's wrong with Facebook.com/cocktailTV? Plug.
There's nothing wrong with that, but just picture, I have pictures of it and I put it on Facebook. The last thing that I need is a picture of Doug booting on fucking Facebook, and it's a tag, and I don't fucking check into that shit. And so, you know, like 2 months later, hey man, did you know there's a tag of you puking? And I'm like, no man, I didn't know that. And then you have to go and remove the tag.
You can set it to disallow tags.
See, Kate knows because she's stealth. She's ninja.
I'm so stealth.
And Doug, because you're my cousin, I didn't put the high definition video of you walking around in circles trying to take off your pants. Yeah. So that's not on Facebook. You can only find that in my house.
Yeah, or just have me over for a party.
Right. Just invite Doug. You will not know where things are going to go. You bring in some Baron Jaeger, and Doug will streak through your quad.
Wow. Oh, yes, I will.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Baron Jaeger is dangeroso.
Exactly. Anyway, so speaking of Oktoberfest, 6 million people attend the festival each year in Germany. So you can imagine 6 million people like Doug or Oliver running around all friggin' drunk. Right?
But just to put it in perspective, Oliver and Reinhardt are the guys that took me to Oktoberfest when I was in Munich. And yeah, they can drink.
They can drink. And the thing is, you should be able to compete because you are about the same stature as one of them.
The problem is when you have like 5 liters of beer in a pretty short amount of time, there are pictures of me dancing atop a table with 3 chicks, and I don't remember.
That's funny because somebody else said, oh, dude, it's the only place in the world where you can dance on top of the tables. I'm like, I'm not really looking to do that. Like, nowhere did I ever go to a bar in any a country and look around and go, now that table looks well structured. I should be able to get right on there and just start dancing.
No, but you do get people playing Sweet Home Alabama on tubas and like a big Oompa band, basically. How awesome is that?
I don't really know.
That's pretty epic, yeah.
That's excellent. So we've not really equipped ourselves, unless you guys haven't told me, with any like Schweinbraten, Knudel, Käse, Spätzle, or sauerkraut. But we did all bring some beer, so I think we're at least got the Oktoberfest mentality. The original Oktoberfest occurred, of course, in Munich in October 18th, 1810, for those commemorating the marriage of Crown Prince Ludwig and Princess Theresa of, oh my God, like Saxe Heidelberghausen. And I don't know who they are, but they are epically epic, if that could be done. Name a meme, Doug, and that's what these guys are, because Doug is the master of memes lately. And so all your base art belong
no,
to you, Doug.
You.
Okay, see? I don't even get that one. So these guys...
What, Know You?
Yeah.
Have you not seen Know You?
Oh my God, see? See, that's the thing. I'm sorry. I'm out of the loop. I'm sorry. Sorry.
I'm
anyway.
Spending way too much time on 4chan.
Yeah, no, like no kidding. Huh?
Yeah. That and Reddit.
Never go to Reddit. It has been...
Because you're a dick bag. Dick bag.
See? You know what? Reddit and these sites are bad for our... people, our society, because they learned to speak like Doug. No one else that I know has ever said, you're a dickbag. And when I know you said you're actually using just two letters to do it. So there's like a lot of badness going on there. I'm sure your spelling has degraded. I can only imagine what your like your technical specifications will look like.
The dick, Doug.
If you could please just look at my write-up for my three beers, and then you can suck my cock.
I'll do that a little later, to the write-up reading, of course. The other one I'll pass. So, did you know that Oktoberfest has missed a few years during its time of celebration due to wars?
Well, they were trying to take over the world, so
There is a problem with taking over the world. From 1914 to 1918, no Oktoberfest due to World War I. And then in 1933, the white and blue Bayernish flag was replaced with the almighty swastika. So that was a problem. And then from 1939 to 1945, no Oktoberfest due to World War II. Tanks, panzers, bombs, things like that.
It's kind of hard to drink when your city's getting turned into rubble.
But and all your men are out fighting for the domination of white, blue-eyed Germans. You know, that's just bad. So, besides that, they've kind of put that away. There's been about 24 cancellations of Oktoberfest due to wars, disease, and unfortunate incidents, or whatever those might be. However, the strength of such an event is so great that it lives on through all of the wars, and we still can today celebrate the proper beer festival. I'm very sad I missed it.
Me too.
And I will go. I just don't know when. When I came back, there was a lot of Americans coming back. So it wasn't just me that was leaving the country during the best time of the world.
You know, the thing that sucks, though, is it closes at 11.
Well, that's late for Germany. How can something like that close? You know why? Is it last call at 11?
Well, no, it shuts down. So when you go there, it's like going to a fairground, okay? There's like rides and shit outside. It's very trippy.
Okay.
And then there's a bunch of these tents, and I'm using air quotes for tents, right?
Okay.
Each tent is sponsored by a major beer company like Paul Anner or Hofbrau.
Lüvenbräu.
And there are like 7,000 to 10,000 people per tent. And apparently it's really hard to get a table in these tents. Like, you have to book a year in advance.
What?
But pretty much once you go in, you're in the tent for the night, and then, yeah, everything shuts down at 11.
Is that so that they can get everybody off the fairgrounds because they're drunk?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, they got to be drinking a lot because Germans can drink. And to put a German under the table has got to be a challenge, inexpensive.
You're drinking a liter at a whack.
That's true.
That long.
That's true. Okay, say you're in the tent, and I know everybody's asking this. Where the heck do you pee?
Ah, that's some magic, actually. I don't know about the ladies, but for the guys, you walk into this, it's almost like a maze in that they have as much wall surface as possible, and they have this like little tray against every, it's like a rail, okay? And basically, everybody pisses on the wall, and the rail catches the piss, and it all kind of runs down as a river all along these walls. Pretty impressive.
That's engineering at its best.
Like a goat barn. Pretty bad.
Well, so women, you didn't meet any, you ever see any women at one of these events?
Well, yeah, there's tons of women, but
well, they got to pee somewhere.
Well, I'm assuming.
You know what it is? They probably have those.
Let me in to see. So.
They probably have those vents, like, or those troughs, just in the center. I was waiting for something. You know that you just like a little track, you know, like a little train, and you just kind of stand there. No?
I think that's
they frown upon the drunk foreign guys wandering into the women's rooms, apparently.
Yeah. I'm just guessing. I would never be able to tell even if I went there unless I ran into a woman's room, which is probably bad. Anyway. Hey, Doug.
Yep.
Type of maniac. Why don't you tell me something about one of your beers?
Which one?
You too busy 4chaning over there?
I'm too busy writing my fucking show notes, ass munch.
You good? Okay. Well, wow, you do. Wow. You want somebody else to go first then? Or do you think you could do Victoria Fest beer?
The Victory Fest beer. Of the three, I'm going to say that the Victory Fest beer is my favorite. And aside from what I was saying earlier, the reason that this one wins out for me is because it has a it has a really nice citric hop presence, like right on the start of the palate, that, you know, just it makes the beer pop. It has a nice maltiness. It has a nice clean crisp lager finish to it. It's all around an excellent beer, and it's absolutely fucking beautiful in the glass.
Really gold, deep gold.
Yeah, more on the gold side, more on the gold amber than the amber colored.
Right.
The Mendocino. I know I'm saying that wrong.
Mendocino sounds like where, like, is in a place in California.
It's in California. Yeah. Mendocino County. Yeah, the Victory Fest beer is just, it's phenomenal. I've had just about every Oktoberfest, if not every Oktoberfest, that I've come across that I could potentially try it and purchase, and the Victory really, really stands out.
Now, has anybody here had the Sam Adams Oktoberfest? Because nobody here has it right now, right? Oh, no, wait.
I do.
You do. Sorry, so I'll hold off on that, because I have had it a long time ago, and it was before I had respect for Oktoberfest, so I don't really remember, but I'll let you keep typing on that. Is that okay?
I'm done.
Oh, Kate, you had mentioned the differences in, or the, what your beer brings to, like, the recipe, the cinnamons and the November-y, I need to have some turkey, I need to think about Halloween, and it's very seasonal, which I think is kind of neat. My fear, of course, was the pumpkin could be overdone, so what you've said is it's kind of subtle. I like that.
I really think it is. I will say it's an extremely sweet beer. So, you know, if you drink it and you think you're just barely going to get a little sweetening, pumpkin-y taste, no, it's definitely very sweet, but there is more just like a spicy beer. I don't know if you guys have ever been to John Harvard's. I go there a lot because there's one right here in my town, and they have this spicy beer. I can't remember what it's called, but obviously it's, you know, around the fall, and they put, you know, crushed cinnamon sugar around the top of the glass, and it's so good. And this just reminds me a little bit of that, where it's not a super pumpkiny beer, but it's just a very spicy beer.
That would be a beer I'd rather have, because I don't mind having a beer that has spices regardless of their natural four ingredients or not, like a flavored beer, because let's face it, Christmas beers probably have more than just, I mean, they put Christmas in there, right? So in your beer, they're adding some pumpkin.
They should grind Santa.
Yeah, I was going to say, they put Santa in it, you know.
They put a little
Christmas
Santa.
In a bottle.
Deer milk, whatever.
Whatever it takes. A little deer milk. First off, the Shipyard I respect as a company. Like, I have had very few Shipyard beers that I dislike. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the stout was a little much for me. Like, I wasn't a big fan of their stout, the Bluefin stout. But overall, what I want in a pumpkin beer is something that tastes like the holidays, whatever holiday it would be, whatever this holiday is, where we run around and rake leaves. That's a holiday. But I don't want something that's over the top. Have you had Magic Hat number 9? Hey, shut up. I'm asking a question.
I'm just saying.
That's my baseline.
I haven't had that. I've been having the Magic Hat Circus Boy lately, the Hefeweizen.
Okay, that's going to be different. That's going to be tasty.
Yeah, very different, very different.
Yeah, because what reason I use that as a baseline is because I found that the Magic Hat number 9 is almost like somebody crushed up raspberries and put them in my beer. And I'm, or some sort of weird fruit.
What I got recently that I just was not drinkable along those same lines was the UFO raspberry. I don't know if it's just, I don't know.
The raspberry wheat beer thing that
they
got?
Yeah, the raspberry wheat
God.
Beer.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It was horrible. And, you know, it was one of those things. I was in the grocery store and I was like, oh, that looks really good. It must have been hot or something. And it just looked like it would be really tasty for the summertime. And it was just awful. Anyway.
It sounds wonderful, but then you taste it and it's like perfume almost.
Yeah, exactly. It just tasted very odd, and it did. It just sounded like it would be refreshing. And
okay, mental note. Do not buy raspberry beer from that company.
No. I think the Germans had it right when they said that you can only have barley, hops, water, and whatever
malt, yeast. I think water's a given. You need to have water anyway because it's going to be liquidy.
Barley, malt,
yeast,
hops, and yeast. That's all you should ever put in your beer. But whatever you can do with those particular four ingredients, which you can do a lot with those particular four ingredients because there's tons of varieties of all of them.
Right, that's the trick. I was going to say
you should not put anything else in a beer.
But there's expectations of doing something different. Like, everybody wants something different.
Only Americans have that expectation, and we're fucking stupid.
Okay, I agree.
I don't know about that.
No, we're not stupid. But
they're stupid, but...
I'm sorry, yeah. I might feel kind of strong about this particular point.
Okay, they're stupid when it comes to beer selection. You know what? It's not the... I guess it is the Americans.
I'll go there.
It is the Americans, because the brewers won't brew it if nobody wanted it. right? They wouldn't make a raspberry beer every, they might do it once, but they wouldn't make it every year or continue to carry it as a line if they didn't get the sales to justify it.
It's marketing.
It's I don't think it's marketing.
I mean, well, I don't know, but I looked at that the box with the, you know, purple, and I thought, ooh, that looks really good.
No, but the thing is, you bought one, but that's not enough to really keep a trend. You can't have every American buy one box. If you present something, marketing is all great. I have no problem with marketing. I have to do some of that in my own job. But you're marketing something that you assume or you take pride in. Right, so you're saying this purple box has a quality ingredient in it. And from what I'm understanding from at least our crew, which I respect their opinions of, it's not really there. And that makes
my inner
child.
I'm sorry, are you trying to equate marketing with ethical?
No, I'm trying to equate marketing with the fact that in a beer style, or really a lot of different products, you can't market something and make it a success. It just can't be done with the beer, because if you taste it and it tastes like ass, you're not going to buy it again, and that marketing is going to fail. You're spending a lot of money for a bunch of people to tell you your product is crap.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. It's like
still see Miller Chill on the shelves, you know?
Some people
that's
really
a very
like
good
that.
Point.
No, I think Kate's right. People like that.
I haven't seen any advertising for Miller Chill even all summer, and yet it's still doing well because people like it.
Shit. No, you know what?
This goes back to the stupid American thing.
Yeah.
No. David, what just dawned on me was I might be a beer snob.
No, you are. There's no real. If it's just dawning on you now, you're a stupid American. Because. But no,
I might have higher standards for my own consumption than other people.
Don't jump on yourself too quickly. If you look at Budweiser, if you look at Michelob, if you look at Keystone Light, they're still following the same four-ingredient rule. They haven't broken. I mean, they do break it. They put out these other crazy things. But the core product that sells the most, it might have more water than barley and hops, but it still kind of follows a recipe that's been structured and standardized.
Now, will we consider rice malt?
Okay, now you are right. You are a snob.
Okay. No. But don't get me wrong. I completely understand how those beers have their place. I am not one to pass up a Pabst. If it's in front of me and that's all that's around, fucking fine. Whatever. It's beer. But
Red Stripe.
But if somebody puts one of those blueberry wheat beers in a Pabst in front of me, and they're like, you know, choose one. I'm going to go for the Pabst. I'm not going to go for the shit with the fruit in it.
Well, one of them is a traditional
snob.
Yeah, he is. He's a pretend. No, he's really a snob, but he pretends not to be every now and then. Mm-hmm. He goes back to his roots of a drinking underage or college kid, where you just like there's things you just like from your younger adult childhood that you just grasp onto.
Pabst is cheap and it's decent.
Pabst is a very big American stapled beer. It's been around for a long time. Just it fought with Budweiser the whole way.
And I will say that when I purchase a Pabst, I know that I am supporting the largest truly owned domestic beer company.
You're just upset about that whole purchase thing.
I'm not upset about that.
No, I would be great to be bought for somebody buy me for $5 billion. I'm all over that shit.
Mm. Exactly. And InBev, you know, purchased a great name.
But when I was in Germany, one of the things I find extremely fascinating, and it is a little bit of, I don't know if I'm really a beer snob, but I guess I am. I'm a lightweight beer snob. Like I'm more of a broad, I like a broad number of different beers, and I can tolerate the other ones, but I still make fun of people who drink Budweiser. So I guess I'm kind of a beer snob. But in Germany, when I sit down at a restaurant or a pub, and I just say, you know what? I want a beer. I'm not afraid. If I go to any restaurant around here and I just say I want a beer, if they don't question what I want, I'm going to get a Budweiser, right? I'm going to get whatever the local house beer is, which is going to be the mass market lighter beer. If you go to Germany and you do that same thing, you go to England and you do that, you're going to get the local brew.
Yeah.
That would be a Smutty Nose, I'm guessing, or something like that for here, or Ipswich, or, you know, if I'm in Massachusetts, I want to
be. You guys might even get a Harpoon or a Red Hook.
Any of those. One of them I think is from Washington or Oregon, but I think it's kind of over here now. But I think
Red Hook is Portsmouth and Washington.
Okay, so I think it was Washington first, but I don't really know if that matters. It would still be local. It's brewed here, right? I want something that's brewed here. That doesn't happen here in the States. That is where I think we're stupid Americans. We will buy all these random stuff because we want something more. Where they're more simple people. They're like, look, this brew has been here for 200 years. There's nothing wrong with it. We're not going to change it. We're not going to twist it up with new marketing. We're not going to put a new label on it. You're going to get a glass. It's going to have the logo on it, and it's going to taste like it did when you were younger. And that's what you're going to get.
That's a good way to be.
Yeah.
It's a simple way of doing things.
Yeah.
And it's all, you go to a different town and you ask for a beer. It's different in certain circumstances, depending how far away you've gone, which I think is amazingly fun. They're all good. I'm never worried about what I'm going to get. Here, it's like, I'm going to go with my safety beer. It's going to be the Sam Adams Lager, right? It's going to be a Bud Light or a Harpoon. If I got to go outside that realm at a standard restaurant where they might have, like, you know how they always put like four beers on the menu, but then they have these other ones they don't tell you about that are actually good?
Yeah, that is so freaking annoying.
Right. So it's like,
that is so annoying because the ones that they don't have on their menu are generally going to be things that are local to that area.
Exactly. What's that deal?
And that's
deal?
What you want to try.
I know. Now I get to ask the waiter or waitress if they're new. They don't know what the hell you're talking about. They're like, fucking order a seasonal. You know, I want a Sam Adams. Seasonal or regular? What season is it? You know, fucking, I don't know. Just give me a nail. It's weird. Just saying.
All right. I completely agree with you on several of those points. And I think that we could probably take a good portion of your monologue and take out the context of beer and insert maybe
shoes,
a Sesame Street character. And it will still have its same effect.
I don't know about Sesame Street.
I don't necessarily need to, you know, go off and have, you know, maybe like Homer Simpson or, you know, I don't really need, you know, Family Guy.
Fuck but, Big Bird. You know,
anywhere I go, I can order a Grover. And I'll be happy.
Wow.
Isn't that thing you were telling me about from Thailand?
No.
Thinking of something else. Never mind.
Wow. Anyway. Hey, Luke.
Yes.
I see you were kind enough to fill in your first brew there with some names that I guessing is not on the label. Leaning Cougalugalugalugalugalugas.
I don't know how to spell it.
So that was a close guess approximation.
That's awesome. Dude, just grab a bottle.
That's all the way in the kitchen, and I'm all the way in my room.
So everybody put their beers in glasses here?
No, I drank that a long time ago.
I'm always consulting my bottles if I don't remember how to spell it.
So Kate is drinking hers out of a bottle, but Luke's got to be because he's Luke. He's
I have a
probably on a different
actually,
kind.
I have a
different kind, Luke.
My,
I just thought he might be drinking a different kind now.
Oh yeah, he's probably moved on.
Oh, and Google. Google saves the day. Thanks, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. What the hell is a Leinenkugel?
It's a harp.
I think it's Leinenkugel, but that just still doesn't answer the question.
I don't know how to spell it.
No. Dave's got it right. You're just a stupid American. That was awesome. Sorry.
I don't pretend to be anything but.
They started out making a couple of different wheat beers.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I know this brand. Yeah. We have this. I just looked it up at Google images.google.com, Leinenkugel.
Yeah, they have
marketed really heavy for a while.
Pretty cool script thing.
Yeah, it's like
on,
Budweiser almost, but like different. It's got that same like.
It's not like Budweiser. You're on crack.
Maybe. Well, the older Budweiser. It's got that like weird hash that like the underline with the triangle thing at the bottom. I don't know. Fuck it. What are you drinking right now?
Right now, nothing.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, the Hoptober, the more I drank it, just the hops kind of became a little overwhelming. And then that Millstream Brewing Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
I've
how's that?
Taken two sips of it, and it tastes like sushi.
What?
And
what?
That's the closest I can get to it. Sushi and sickness, and I'm just, no, I'm not going to even try.
Okay, so you have been thus far unsuccessful with your ventures into Oktoberfests.
Oh, no, the Leinenkugels I actually enjoyed.
Okay. Kugels, you say it plural, like you've already had a couple? The whole six-pack?
I don't pretend to be any good at English, so I just said Leinenkugels.
Okay.
Fine, the Leinenkugel. Singular.
You think the plural is Leinenkugel or something?
I hope so.
Leinenkugel-R.
Leinenkugel-I. So, how many Leinenkugel-Is have you had?
I had one.
Okay. And what color was it, if you could remember, or just puke?
It's in a bottle, so I don't know.
Fuck. Yeah, Luke.
What?
I don't even know what to say to you. I'm so mad at you.
I stole it from Mike. I wanted to just drink it as fast as I could before I get caught.
Oh.
That's bonus points to you if you can make Derek's head actually split open.
Do you remember what it tastes like?
Yeah.
Beer.
Come on, tell me it tasted something.
It had a little similar flavor, I thought anyway, to like a Blue Moon, but just a little more potent with a slight hint of hop. But
so you had a little bitterness.
Same kind of thing, yeah.
Which
but
is
no, I enjoyed that.
So that's pretty good. Okay, so based on the limited assessment of what we have, we don't know what color it is. It could be purple. But
my guess is it's probably amber in color.
Yeah, it's probably amber. It's probably some sort of Märzen style Oktoberfest. I guess it could be wheat. There's nothing. I mean, Munich has wheat beers.
Does it taste like hot, bitter tears of shame?
No. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's more of the Millstream Brewing Oktoberfest.
Okay, so let me summarize Luke's experience here. So you had one beer, you were like, hey, this is pretty tasty. I could drink more of these, even though I am being a thief and stole it from my roommate who didn't make the show and probably would have been drinking that.
Possibly.
And then the New Belgium Hoptoberfest Golden Ale.
Actually, it's just Hoptober.
Hoptober. Sorry, I don't know why I decided to add extra letters. That one...
I don't know either, since you criticized me for not having put anything in the show notes, and now you're not even reading them.
No, I'm reading them. That's the funny part. I read more than was there. I'm reading between the lines, Luke.
I think Derek's reading prowess has been established in the past.
That's a good point.
Yes. So that one you found to be just too hoppy. So did you pour it? You didn't even finish it.
Yeah, poured it out for my homies. No, No, it's just sitting here.
So it will be poured to your homies down the drain.
Well, possibly, unless I can manage to finish it.
I'm going
to
be honest with you right now. I have that same problem with overhopped beers. I want to like the overhopped beers. I try to like them because I feel that if I drink overhopped beer, then I'm more of a man. I'm letting out some of my soul here, so you guys should be like...
I gave up the hope of being a man a long time ago.
See?
So.
Okay. Well, that's because you like Dolph. So
I wasn't even going to say that.
I did it.
Weren't you like partway through saying that though when you said it? You're like, well, I'm not even saying that.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that kind of happened. But I don't. I find that the same problem happens. I start drinking it, and I'm like, you know what? I can power through this. What's the big deal? But then you get like not even halfway, and you're like, I don't really know why I want to power through this drink. It's really not that good. It's too bitter. And then it's just, it leaves funny tastes in your mouth, and you're just like, I can drink water. I don't need this crap. So I understand where you're coming from. And then the Millstream, you just took a risk, and it failed.
Yeah.
How does that happen? I mean, have you ever had any of their other brews?
No.
Okay, so that's a complete blind risk.
Yes.
Everything they could make could be like a dog piss.
Quite.
Okay, that's fair. In your defense, I would have done the same thing. If there was a local brewery that was making an Oktoberfest, except for obviously ours are much better than yours, I think that I would have been in the same situation. No problem. Pick it up blindly. But you've learned.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is with the local Millstream stuff is that, I don't know if it's just me being jaded by not at all liking the flavor, but nothing about it really says Oktoberfest to me, like fall, seasonal pumpkins, anything like that. It's just... tastes like sushi.
So you are more into the pumpkins. I think you would have been good with a shit.
Well, I don't like pumpkins.
Head. I don't eat a lot of pumpkin myself, but there's something.
I think they're scary.
The essence of pumpkins.
Oh.
Have you seen what people do with pumpkins? They all like make them scary and are like, blah.
I usually just carve a hole in the side.
No. People in Iowa tend to be more timid with their pumpkins. And they
wait
carve,
a second.
Like, goofy faces on them.
Dave.
Yes, he makes a glory hole with his pumpkin, is what you heard right. just in case somehow that didn't get through correctly.
Please tell me you use protection when you do that. Because I can imagine inadvertently popping a seed up your urethra. God damn, that would be horribly painful.
Not to mention any of the pumpkin itises that you can get or, like, you know, any of that. You could dirty the pumpkin, too.
H-I-P. Sorry.
All right, that's fucked up. Okay, so we got Luke's got tastes like dead sushi with stuff in it, something overhopped, and one that he likes. So that's one for three. That's not too bad. So on the topic of Märzen or Marzen, is that what they call it in English? I don't even know.
Strictly English pronunciation. Hooked on Phonics is Marzen.
Okay, Marzen. But and for those who don't know, the A is the, with the double dots is the sound of A, long A. So, and then the Z has got the TS sound. So that's why I call it Marzen.
You know what? We don't have umlauts in English.
We stupid American. Damn you.
Who uses umlauts? Motley Crue. Need I say more?
Well, that's true. Hey, you know, Girls, Girls, Girls was a pretty good sound. That's all I'm saying. So Marzen, originally described as a dark brown, full-bodied, and bitter, and so we can kind of qualify based on that. I think some things have changed over time. Like, I don't think dark brown is really, maybe amber would equate to dark brown. I don't know. A little bitter. As intended, the beer was often kept in the cellar until late summer, and the remaining bottles were served at Oktoberfest. In order to last so long, either the original gravity of the alcohols were increased to 6%, or hopping was strengthened. Thus, you can have an Oktoberfest, because it's strong. You don't need to add as much alcohol. But I think most people would rather have more alcohol than the extra hops. Am I right? Am I right?
Yes.
Yes,
you're sure. Right.
Probably.
We're having a very anti-hop podcast tonight.
I do feel like we are dissing on the hops. No, but to the hops' defense, hops, there's a lot of varieties, as Doug has said. And I think that gives you a lot of different experimentation. Like the Urquell Pilsners, I think, uses Sol's hops. And they have a different floral ingredient. And you can get so many different hops that you can add that you don't have to overhop it to make it different.
Right.
Right. And like all German beers, Oktoberfest is brewed according to the strict German standards called the Reinheitsgebot, effective as of 1516, I think was the date, 1516, a little while ago. And it precisely, as we said, defines the four ingredients allowed in brewing beer: barley, hops, malt, and yeast, and of course water, because without water, we'd all be dead. Not that that sounds...
This is a public service announcement.
Public service announcement. So what I wanted to do first is, because I'm running low on beer here, you know what's kind of weird is I've been drinking so many cocktails. It's weird to be able to drink so many beers and not get a buzz. I think it's weird.
I totally agree.
Isn't that weird? Oh, before I do this, Kate, have you listened to any of the interviews that we've done?
Crap, no. But I will starting tomorrow.
Because I've used a lot of the stuff you had talked about in the whiskey one. I think it was...
Stop it. Really?
Well, because remember you were saying how you put your whiskey in the freezer?
Yeah.
So I was talking to people who make whiskey, and I'm like, what's the deal?
Don't do it?
No. Basically, what they said, the only big takeaway there, and though they hadn't actually put it in the freezer, but they said there's nothing wrong with that, was that adding a little bit of water, even like 5 drops of water, spring water,
brings out the flavor.
So you don't have to put ice cubes in it per se, and some of them don't do that. Other ones, some of the guys, they like, I did a scotch, I interviewed the scotch guy like 3 weeks ago, Keith Law, and I just published that I think 2 days ago. So that one, he's Scottish, which is cool, so you can hear Doug's accent in there somewhere. And for those that listen to Doug's Scottish accent.
No, that was awful.
That was awesome. And he had I used some of the stuff you had mentioned, and I really wanted to know what people, if there was any bad things that you could do. And I don't think you've done anything bad, so you could just tell all your snobs that they could, what was the phrase? What the dick? No, that doesn't work right there.
What?
And how would I apply that here, though?
I don't really know, but I'm sure if you phrase it differently such that they have to ask you a question, you can kind of...
Yeah,
I'm trying to incorporate that into my vocabulary, but it's just not working.
It's hard, because you have to be prompted for the question.
I can't figure out how to use that. So when they say, okay, you're like a college person for putting your bourbon in the freezer, I say, what the dick?
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, I saw these things in a cap.
It sounded really smooth.
Like little square stones that you put in the freezer, and they're supposed to work kind of like ice cubes, but they don't, you know, melt, obviously. They just release cold.
Really?
And it's for like whiskey and that kind of thing, so you don't water it down while still, you know.
But what a lot of them.
These little things that I bought at Crate and Barrel, and they're all different shapes, and they're ice cubes, but they're in plastic. So you put them in the freezer and they freeze, and then you put them in your drink and they don't melt, but they keep it cold.
Do they make it taste like plastic?
No, they don't. But from what you're saying, though, Derek, is that, you know, maybe it would be good if it melted a little bit. Maybe they'll change the flavor in kind of a good way.
Right. And what he had said he does is he calls it the rules of two. I think it's 2 ounces of whiskey and 2 ice cubes. And I don't know what the other two was. I'm
interesting.
Lost.
Okay.
But what they said is when they do whiskey tastings, that they always add a little spring water to it, and then they let it sit for about 10 minutes. and that's usually all it takes. They don't, you know, keep it at their normal whatever temperature they like it at, and that's what they call it good. So there's some advantage to the watering down, but too many ice cubes is gonna bring it down and liquid too much water.
Yeah, Luke, I ran out of my Wild Turkey, and I did buy a big enormous bottle of Jameson last time I went to the liquor store. So
nice,
bitchin'. So now you're really rolling.
Yeah, I'm a little classier.
Put that sucker in the freezer.
What's in there?
Kate, you've always been classier.
Right, you're more classier than we are. That was my deal on the interview. So yeah, I've been using what we've learned to further our discussions.
Oh, there it is.
That's cool. I'll have to go back and listen to those.
I was gonna say, this is bad. Dateline's my first webcam.
Great, I'm on the internet. Look at.
Nice, Dave. That's funny. Well played.
Well played.
Dateline, my first webcam.
Oh, so wrong.
Oh, entrapment.
So what I've got here is I've got my Dogtoberfest and I've got my Oktoberfest.
Actually, it's worse than entrapment. It's entrapment for ratings. It's entrapment for money.
This is true. So what I have here is I've got my Spaten Munich imported Oktoberfest Märzen, and I've got the Dogtoberfest Märzen. And what I attempted to do is to get one from Germany and one from here in the U.S., and keep the same style. So they're both Märzen. I respect both brands. I've actually reviewed the Dogtoberfest last year on everydaydrinkers.com because they send me some of their new brews they're working on. And so from color-wise, what I can tell is that there is an amber to the Spaten. So it is definitely more amber. It looks like maybe, what do they call the amber from that company you like there, Doug? The one that does Turbo Dog.
Abita.
Yeah, it's like an Abita amber, maybe like a, there's a couple local brews up here that have ambers like this. The other one is definitely, the Dogtoberfest is more gold, like dark gold, but not amber. I wouldn't qualify this as amber in any way. It looks more like a very rich style lager, like you would probably expect. And so from the color, I think that the Spaten looks more appetizing, but some people don't like amber ales. So that could be a problem. And
see, and that's, I think, one of the biggest travesties of the current beer market in America is the overproduction of ales and hopped beers and overhopped and the wheat beers. And there's like, it's impossible to find a nice golden ale. It's impossible to find a nice amber.
Because they get ruined.
That?
Because they get ruined by marketing. When you start adding all these weird ass adjuncts, you get different color properties. Or maybe they're going for, like, the light beers are okay if they're a light beer. But I would prefer a darker beer. Not black, because I'm thinking
stout. You don't even need adjuncts or anything of the like to produce a nice golden or a nice amber.
No, I'm saying that that's why they're not the colors you expect, because they're adding too many other things.
Ah, okay. Cheers to that.
Right. Maybe some red 40 or something.
Yeah, maybe so.
But
it's a new malt liquor company.
It's if you're using just like straight up malted barley for your malt, for your extract, it's almost impossible not to get a nice amber color. You have to add like roasted malt to get a darker color to it. I don't know. I'm sorry. Tangent. Haha, disregard.
Beer snob. No, I think both of the beers have great color for what they are. The only question I had was, why is it that they're both the same style and so different in color? Like, they're right. Contrasting colors, which, if you only have one, it's obviously not going to be a problem. The other big difference is that the Spaten has a flavor to the nose. It smells like...
It smells like Euro skunk.
No, not even close. It smells very, very subtle florals, and I don't know. I want to describe it as a beer smell, like a heavier, medium to heavy body beer. You know what it is? I think it's the malt. It's like a little chocolatey malt to it, and I think, you know, and that might make the color. It kind of goes with the nose. Huh. I think that the Dogtoberfest has less flavor on the nose. There's not a lot going on. It's a little. It smells a little smoky and maybe a little caramel in there. Which is, again, it's good. It's fine. I'm happy with that. I'm just surprised at the different contrasts of flavors, given that I'm sure that Flying Dog created a recipe that was based on something that they've seen or that they've worked with on a root of some recipe from Bavaria or Germany. Like, they don't just make up a new a new recipe and go, oh, this is Märzen. There's usually some, you know, route that they came off of, and they've perfected it in their own way. They've uniquified it, if that's a word.
It is now. Well played.
It is. It's light, not a lot of bitter, some nice flavors, nothing too strong. You know, this it's not over hot, it's not over malted, but it's also not water. So there are a little caramel flavors. There is a little bitterness at the end, but not a lot. I think what this is what Americans would want to see in a Märzen. Like, it doesn't push you in any direction. It's just a well-balanced beer. And I can't complain about that. Where the Spaten has more hop and a little more bitter. Definitely got the more full-bodiedness to it. And it's got some chocolatey. It's got more flavor profile overall. Yeah, I don't know which one's better. I would say, if I had a push to either of them, I'm going to say I like the Spaten for the respectable beer connoisseur in me, the beer snob that wants to push its way out of my inner child. I would probably say the Spaten is a better brew. For sitting down and watching the football game, you know, start of September, October time, you know, you want to sit down, you watch a little ball, I would be absolutely happy with the Flying Dog.
Yeah, I bet you want to watch a little ball.
I want to carve it out. I want to make it look like a pumpkin.
Okay.
Maybe a little marker.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where does the Sharpie go?
The Sharpie. I was trying to think of that name.
What about a Sir Mix-a-Lot?
I don't even know what that is. That must be some
goes
Iowa
in the
thing.
Same place.
Is that an Iowa thing?
I don't know.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
God.
Okay. My bad. Hey, Doug, let's see. You got to tell me some more shit about your beers. Hey, we haven't done Dave yet. Dave, hold on. We'll get back to you, Doug. You've already done one. Dave, tell me about your Planner All Fruit.
All Fruit?
I don't know. Planner is like a... Never mind. It's
oh, yeah, yeah. That jelly shit, yeah.
Yeah, jelly shit.
So I'm drinking the Paulaner Oktoberfest Märzen. And I generally like Paulaner beers, so I figured I'd give this one a shot. I hadn't had it before. And it's a really nice color. It's something in between an amber and a brown.
Okay, so probably more like mine.
Coppery kind of thing. The interesting thing about it is when you pour it, it doesn't really have a head. Like, it does real quick, and then it just goes away, and it has been sitting here without one at all since.
I hate not having a head, dude.
It's probably not going to come back if it never exists.
It's going to grow it later.
Oh, wow, there's the head.
Oh, solved.
Well, no, when you first pour it, you get a little bit of one, but then it just kind of dissipates very quickly. But it's a really sweet beer. When you first taste it, it's almost like a soft drink. You get a very kind of caramel kind of taste to it. Relatively light carbonation, has kind of a bitter end to it, but it's really good, actually. It's got a really nice flavor. It's just, I can't picture myself drinking more than a couple of them because it's so sweet.
But,
I kind of wasn't expecting that.
But it's sweet, not with spices. It's just sweet, like...
Just pure sweet, almost like just they added a bunch of caramel into it.
That's cool. Well, I guess not. I don't know. I'm not a real big fan of sweet beers in general.
I mean, I'm generally okay with it just from drinking so many different, you know, wheat beers and stuff. But I don't know. I just, when I drink something like this, I don't expect it to have that much of a sugar component to it.
That's it. If you're drinking a lambic, do you have expectations? Like, if you're drinking a beer that's like super sweet beer, then you know what you're going to get if you're drinking something that's super fruity beer. Even if you're drinking a purple raspberry beer, you know what you're going to get. You might not like the end result, but you know what you're going to get. With an Oktoberfest, I wouldn't be thinking sweet.
Right.
You see,
I mean, as it is, it's a good beer. I mean, I have, you know, I'm not bashing it by any means, but as an Oktoberfest beer, I don't know.
Doug?
I actually expect that in my Oktoberfest beers. I expect to be able to taste a nice malty sweetness above all else in the beer. The hops or the bitterness can come out a little bit, but I expect that the beer is going to be sweeter than anything else, and it's going to have a nice lager finish to it. That's going to be crisp at the end, but when you're drinking it, it's going to be nice and malty and sweet.
Well, I don't know.
And when I don't get that, I find it as an inferior Märzen style.
But when I'm thinking sweet, I'm thinking sweet, like... Sweet like a magic hat sweet, not like as sweet as in malt, where like a brown ale. I think a brown ale as, or malty beer, or even a stout for, you know, if you want to go all the way into the malts, as chocolatey, but not necessarily milk chocolate sweetness, just
Well, wouldn't caramel be like a sweet?
Yeah, but it's more like a dry sweet. If that, I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. Where you're not getting like when I sip any of my beers, the front a part of my tongue where my little sweet buds are dancing around, they're not all happy going woohoo sweet drink, right? They're not like oh cocktail, oh this is great, the slow gin. No, I'm thinking beer. It's just got like a little chocolatey, robust caramel to it.
I just think I could be wrong about this, but when you think about malt, you think about like a caramel.
Yeah.
Type of taste or like a toffee.
But I still don't associate that myself personally as I wouldn't call it a sweet beer.
Mm-hmm.
When I think sweet beer, I think more artificial. Like more like, oh, I added some crazy fruitness to it and it get like a cherry wheat or Pete's Wicked Cherry. Like that type of sweetness is what I pick when I hear sweet, that's what I think of.
Mm-hmm.
But and I don't think, and Dave, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I don't think that's what Dave's saying. Dave's not saying that he's tasting sweet in as much that he's not tasting some type of adjunct that would make one think that they're tasting
sugar.
Sweet, like a blueberry taste or a cherry taste. But the actual taste of, in the event that you don't ferment your malt all the way with your yeast, you'll have more sugar left in the actual beer.
Oh, of course.
Which will make it taste sweeter than if you use a yeast that will eat up all of the sugar and all you're left with is something like a lager.
Like an 8% alcohol where all the where the yeast poops out. We talk about that with the yeast.
Even with that, it's even hard to find a yeast that can make something that's 8% alcohol that doesn't leave a lot of sugar.
Yes, because you need a lot of sugar to get that alcohol content.
Exactly.
I mean, I would say that this is a pleasing kind of sugar as opposed to, as you said, something that is kind of added to it after the fact. You know, you can tell it's definitely inherent characteristic of the beer, right?
Right.
Right.
I just find it a little bit cloying after a couple. Like, I feel like my mouth is a little bit sticky almost, you know?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, at this point, I'm like 3.5 in, and I definitely have that lingering amber malty sweetness on my lips that at this point I'm not going to be able to get rid of unless I drink something else.
But that to me is like the taste of awesome. I have had 1, 2, let me count 3. I think I've only had 3 or 4 and I don't feel like I'd have a problem continuing this trend of drinking. Like I don't see myself getting sick of it like I would say getting sick of, I'm on my 6th bag of gummy bears and I'm done with the sweetness. Like and I'm also sugar high and diabetic. I think that this is, it's a good sweetness. Like I like it. Like it's not too much to me. It's not like the Hoptober that Luke has over there where he's like, throw it up in my mouth.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think depending on which Oktoberfest you're drinking, ideally these beers were made or should be in the style or in the vein of a session beer. You know, this is something that ideally people are going to be drinking copious amounts of all fucking day long.
Like a liter at a time?
Right.
Right. Which is, now, I don't know what, now, Dave, do you even know what you drank when you were at Oktoberfest?
I don't even remember the beer company tent that I was in. I killed all those brain cells. It was bad.
But you didn't.
It might have been Hofbräu.
Well, you went right for the biggest. So, yeah, I mean, they had you went there because of the women.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's okay. But you didn't see, maybe here's the deal. I think that what happens, and this, there's got to be some truth to this. Correct me if I'm wrong. But if you're drinking anything, besides barring all the crazy raspberry stuff, if you're at Oktoberfest and somebody throws a liter of beer in you, you've got people all over the place. You get women, big breasts, you got all this stuff going on. You're like, this is awesome. I've never, you know, Oktoberfest is the best thing ever. And you're drinking a beer. There's a lot to do with the mood. You might not be going, you know what? This is just a little too sweet. I don't think I could drink 3 liters of this. And before you know it, you're 4 liters in and you're like, wow, this is a great time. Let's get on the table.
To be honest, most all of the beer that I saw in Munich was lighter. You didn't see much darker beer during Oktoberfest.
So you didn't see anything that was an amber color?
No. You see a lot of Weiss beer just simply because, you know, it's the reason for it. And yeah, like when some of the tents open up in the morning and people eat these, they're a certain kind of sausage. I think they're made with venison and you have that and you have Weiss beer with it.
Dunner? Is it Dunner? No, that's veal. Can't remember.
What see, everything about that sounded great until the Weissbier.
I know you don't like Weissbier, but that's Munich. That's their deal.
In the tents, yeah, I mean, the stuff that I was drinking was like lager. I mean, it was pretty light.
Well, and I was going to say, but I'm sure it, when in Germany, do as the Germans.
I think there's a lot of mood to it, though. I think that even if you didn't like Weissbier, Doug, if they just drop you in the middle of Germany, trips for free, right? You're just, boom, you're there. You're in a tent. You're not really going to be like
eating venison sausage and they're serving me whatever beer. Right. Damn fucking straight. I'll be loving every goddamn second of it.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of mood involved. And honestly, I haven't had a German beer where I was like, oh, this isn't good. Weissbier, whatever it happens to be, it's typically more of a lager or pilsners, really a lot of pilsners because I've been up north more. But I don't think I would have a problem with anything that they would serve me. I think there's a lot to do with the celebration. And where we're actually kind of focusing more on the beers, I think perhaps if I was – like when I've been in Germany, the beers I've gotten look more like the Dogtoberfest more than the Spaten, which is directly imported from Germany. But yeah. It's – I don't know.
One aspect of this podcast that you'll never – that we will never be able to capture is being out in a certain locale, eating certain locale food, and consuming certain locale local beer.
Oh no, we'll fuck that! If somebody comes over and says, "Hey, I want to buy your property, and we're going to pay you X amount of money, and you're going to need to go on trips, and you're going to need to do this," bullshit. Every single one of you is getting on a fucking plane with me, and we're going to Germany for Oktoberfest. We're going to video. We're going to bring a crew. We're going to do it up.
We're going to bring
that'd
a crew.
Be awesome. I know. That was the best part. We're going to bring a crew.
We're not going to do that. We're going to drink, and they're going
to
record.
I'll volunteer to be the boom mic guy. I'll just walk around with the fucking mic.
No, you're co-host like the rest of us.
I'll film everybody. You can...
No. There's no escaping this.
I totally want to go.
You would be on the plane... All expenses paid, we'd sit there because they'd make all their money on the episode. Because we're funny fucks, right? We do some crazy shit, and that's what they pay us for.
That definitely is.
Right?
That's where we get all our... That's Derek. Crazy shit.
Yep. Derek. You too.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
I think, Luke, are you in?
What was that?
Is he awake?
Luke?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he just said something.
Oh, okay.
You're all fucking
going. In the spirit of the current podcast of what we have, we cannot replicate what it is like to experience something and have the beers. All we can really do is comment on exactly what we're drinking and what we personally find exceptional or lacking thereof.
Right. We bring.
And, you know, that's a really good point in that atmosphere and food and everything else really plays a part in what you're drinking.
Yeah, and
totally does.
But the best we can do is try and tell you, look, if you were at a bar and there's a lot of drinking going on and you see they're going to pass around that little beer menu and you see beers, when you go down the line and you see like a Dogtoberfest or you see a Liebenskugel or what, or Leinenkugel,
I changed it.
A Leinenkugel or maybe a Sam Adams or a Victory Fest beer, you'll be like, hey, that's what those stupid shits, those dumb Americans said. That's what we're going to order because I want to see it. And they'll be able to appreciate that, I think. So we've got that going for us.
That's right.
I will say, though, that the most common Oktoberfest that you can possibly find is going to be the Samuel Adams. And that is actually it's a very, very, very decent representation of an Oktoberfest beer. It really is good.
What makes it so good?
Do you think it's all that flavorful?
I do. Actually, when compared to the other two that I have, personally, I find the other two that I have better, but I kind of knew that.
Sam Adams, I don't have it tonight, but I didn't think it had all that much flavor. It was very clean beer, but it didn't really, had kind of a clean finish. It didn't really, didn't give me a lot of flavor.
I think what it was lacking, potentially what I'm thinking it was lacking for you is the hops presence.
Yeah.
In the Oktoberfest, the Sammy's is lacking. There's not a lot of it. I mean, there's a little hop in it, but it's not very much. It is completely overpowered, in my opinion, of the malty sweetness.
So it's like a winter lager from Sam Adams.
Without the, you know, spicy shit that it has going on. It's strictly, you taste the malty sweetness, it has a nice clean finish like a lager should, but if it had just a little more hop to balance the sweetness, it would push it from a good beer to a really good beer.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, this is, I'm not like a huge connoisseur of beer, but I didn't see what made it a seasonal beer. Like, I didn't taste anything like, oh yeah, this is definitely an Oktoberfest seasonal beer.
I'll agree with you. I've had the same, I've gotten Oktoberfest if I go out to a restaurant around here. Whenever they ask, I'll say I'll have a Sam Adams, they say, do you want seasonal? Or what we have on tap or whatever. I'm like, oh, I'll have a seasonal. And it tastes different than lager, but it doesn't go the way of the pumpkin, right? It doesn't have a lot of pumpkin in it. It doesn't have a lot of cinnamon in it, but it doesn't have a lot of, you know, how do you almost uniquely identify it as an October beer over any other beer of the year?
Right, exactly.
Can you do that? I mean, well, I don't think there's anything in there that goes, that's a Meriton. That is, you know, it doesn't, maybe the color, but when you get them at the, you know, you might not get it poured or whatever.
It's the high malty sweetness with the lager finish, I would say, is the hallmarks of the Meriton style. The hops are for kicks, whatever you can do for the hops. And I think that's where Sam Adams kind of falls a little flat on this particular beer.
Okay, I agree. Because I think personally, that's right.
And again, it just personally, and it's tough for me when I get into these conversations with different styles of beers. I've had almost every possible fucking Oktoberfest you can get. Like if I go out, I haven't had that one yet. I'll try that one. And it's just, yeah. I have a very wide breadth of experience with this particular style, and I know what works and I know what doesn't work, and I know what works for me and I know what works for other people, and it's one of those things where I think the Sammy's is good introductory to the Oktoberfest, and if you want something more, look for something local, except if you're where Luke
Sam
is.
Adams is local.
Yeah, Sam Adams is local.
Sam Adams is local for us.
It's a local for everybody in the U.S.
It's,
now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's kind of local for everybody.
They're
huge. You can always get a Sam Adams, which is great because Sam Adams puts out really good beer.
They put out a good beer. Yeah, although it says Boston Brewery on it, when I'm in like a bar in the middle of California or wherever, Palm Springs, I was able to get, you know, that was their standard fare. So, you want a Sam Adams lager? Yeah, we have that. They don't look at you like, oh, you're from Boston, you're ordering this. No, it's everywhere.
They actually outsource their brewing into like Pittsburgh or something now? I can't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say they have like satellite breweries and shit. They have like breweries all over the fucking place.
Well, that's okay, because they started out as
they originated in Boston, so we still claim them.
We can claim them as much as we can claim Cheers. Everybody can enjoy it, but we at least can say, when it comes down to the facts, we had a guy that was around here, and he still is. Jim Cook is still around here, and that is the guy that makes our beers. And what we've done is we've just shared it with the world. Well, really just the U.S., I also want to mention the October Style Fest beers, in case people haven't figured it out. It's not just an event, it's an actual style of beer, as we've gone through. It's really the Meriton style of beer. It traditional style guidelines describe it as amber gold lager, robust at 5.2 to 6% alcohol by volume. I think that's pretty much where we are. Bottom fermented, lagered for at least a month with pronounced malt flavors with Vienna malts, usually accented by German noble hops such as Hallertau or Tettnang. An Oktoberfest is brewed very much like a reddish amber Meriton beer served at the Crown Prince's wedding in 1810. So we're basically drinking what they had in 1810. Not really. Before the revolution of brewing, because of refrigeration, Meriton beers were brewed in March. Ha, Meriton, March. Lagered in cold stored in case for 10 to 12 weeks, ready to drink by late summer or early fall.
Meriton mean March in German?
Yep. It's the month of March, Meritz. January, February, Meritz. So you've got, you're putting them in the March period, and you're just throwing them in a fucking cave. Of course, nowadays we have coal trucks and all these other things that we have to work with. But back then, you just dump it in a cave. I wonder if there's any brews that are still brewed in a cave, because that would be awesome.
Maybe you should start one.
Dude.
What about a dungeon under a shed?
That should work. I mean, well, do you only have beer in there?
Yeah, beer.
Because
not much of a dungeon if there's just beer down there.
You need shackles and shit.
It's your naughty beer.
Right.
There you have your name. Naughty Beer.
Naughty Beer. Oh, that'd be a good name, actually. The other thing that I think Doug was touching on, being today's imported Oktoberfest beers tend to be lighter in color and body than the traditional Märzen style. And while American craft breweries are creating fest beers, they're usually slightly higher in alcohol, richer in hops aroma and flavor, and redder in hue than the European fest beers. Which is funny, because mine is not. My red one is actually German, and then the light one is American, English, whatever. Maryland-ish. But I think that that's the problem, I think. And the end result is marketing plays a huge role. That might be putting a pumpkin on the box. That might be changing the entire recipe to what you think people want. They want cinnamons. They want spices. They want to think almost Thanksgiving. They want to prepare their palates for Thanksgiving way early, where really it's just a style of beer that worked in the culture at the time. It was like, we got to make the beer now, and we're going to put it away until fall. And now, today, we add kind of some flavors to it. Some that are good and some that are bad. For me, I think there's a risk involved. If I was to buy one now, I would definitely try Shipyard Pumpkinhead Ale.
Yeah, you know, I will say, just looking at the list, everyone's got Oktoberfest or at least Ober in the name. And mine definitely is not an Oktoberfest beer. It's more of a seasonal beer. So, you know, I don't want to like mislead people that this is an Oktoberfest type of a beer, but
Shipyard's a stable company in America. I mean, they're a very well-respected company, at least on this coast.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people, I don't know, I'm like a holiday person, like a fall, winter kind of person, and I like getting into the holidays. So when I think October, I think pumpkins, I think spicy, I think that kind of thing. So,
but that brings the mood back in. Now you're at the right mood.
This,
you're setting your mind
free. This definitely is not an official Oktoberfest beer, so I do apologize for, you know, bringing the seasonal in there, but
hey, I there's no apology needed. I was going to buy it, except for it was like, I think it was probably like $7.99 maybe, or $8.99 for a six pack. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I bought a 12 pack, but you know, I wish you'd try it.
Oh my
tell
god,
me what you think of it.
You bought a 12 pack with mine? Oh, you've had it.
Oh yeah, I had it all last year. Loved it. Okay. My sister left me a voicemail like 3 weeks ago and was like, "Oh my god, Shipyard's in the stores." She loves it.
See, that's nice. That's awesome, because now you've set your own tone and your own mood. You already know what you're getting into. For me, I've had both good and bad experiences with pumpkin style brews. I've had ones that tasted like I was actually had my head in a pumpkin, and then I've had other ones that were like really light, and I've had other ones that were good. And honestly, with all the marketing, sometimes I don't know which is which. So I go into the store and I'm afraid, right? I'm like, oh, is that the one I like or the one I hate?
Yeah.
And since you can't buy them in singles, you have no real, not often, you don't really have a good way of testing it.
Yeah.
So bringing one on the show that you actually enjoy is good for me, because now I can go out and buy a Shipyard and not feel that I'm going to buy a 6 or 12 pack of something that's really like $8.99 or above and tastes like ass, because then I'm going to drink it because it's $8.99. I'm not going to
shot. The other thing about the pumpkin head, I will say too, is that it's very light and it goes down really easy. And the first few sips, you're kind of like, oh my God, what's in my beer? But then it's almost like, you know, I don't know, that wasn't a very good explanation. But when you have the first few sips, you might find it a bit sweet. But as you're drinking, I mean, the more you drink, I've had like 3 tonight and I hardly even taste the sweetness of it. So
no, I have the same problem with rum. Like, yeah. I have had people where I've had rum and I'm like, oh, this is a little strong. And then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, this isn't so bad. It's kind of like your tongue just kind of has to get used to the flavor.
But it's light. You can drink a bunch of
alcohol.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, probably, but.
Well, not. I mean, it's not with orange juice. Like, I can drink orange juice. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, orange juice. But, like, when it comes to alcohol.
Bring it.
Yeah, I usually got to work my taste buds at it. But
big orange juice raves, yeah.
I have a couple of those. But no, I think that the only thing I worry about with their name is Pumpkinhead, to me, sounds like it's going to have more pumpkin than anything else. Should we bring him?
Spicy beer.
Yeah. Let's see.
Sure. I'm remote.
Oh, I got to turn on that ringing. This is killing me.
Oh.
I can never tell when people are actually logged in, so that's messed up, but I guess I'll fix that later, because doing that in the middle of a podcast is quite unprofessional. So here we are. Hey, Mike.
Hello, sir.
So although there was no ringing sound, I brought you in because, like we did with Dave, I think it's only appropriate that we have a true party And that involves blasting you with a set of questions.
Oh, awesome.
And that means...
be as hilarious as last time, but we'll see what happens.
What we need you to do...
Wasn't he here the whole time like I was?
Right.
Don't even start.
Don't even...
It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you have to edit answers into the rest of the show.
So what we need you to do is, since we've all had at least three beers, you need to drink three beers like in the next 30 seconds so that you can get to where we are, and then we can review.
Yeah, just pop them.
Here I go.
Okay. He's faking it.
Might only make it through one.
Yeah, well, that's... But you have to remember what it tastes like, too. So you got to have another one lined up. So what do you... I don't have you on my notes here, and you probably don't have the notes anyway. So fuck that. What did you end up finding?
I have a Harvest Moon, which is the pumpkin fall seasonal ale from Blue Moon, which is a Miller Coors product, essentially.
Yes. So you're going Canadian on us. Canadian Oktoberfest, sort of.
No, that's American.
Coors is American? Oh, yeah, duh. Mm-hmm. They're like a Colorado, aren't they?
I think so.
So, but was Blue Moon originally spun off as Coors, or was it his own company that Coors bought?
That I don't know. I just consider Blue Moon to be their like craft brewery, not so much with the heavy branding.
Okay, that's funny.
I think they were independent originally, and they were picked up by them. They're like, I think Coors was doing the outsourced brewing for them for a long time, and then they just absorbed them.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Sort of like a write-off on their taxes, so that they didn't have to claim as much.
Yeah, plus they're Canadians, you know.
It's right, that's true. Uh-huh. Okay, before we start, we got to make this clear. We've had... Now, Doug has said that there's a seasonal and then there's an Oktoberfest. And so Kate, at first, was a little like, oops, I bought the wrong thing, because she bought the Pumpkinhead Ale from Shipyard. And we're like, no, that's cool, that's cool. But it doesn't say Oktoberfest in the name. It's not a Märzen. It's an ale.
Yep.
You went with a non-Oktoberfest, probably for convenience.
I had two different types of beer in the fridge. One was a summer. This is the fall. So it's as close to an Oktoberfest as I can get.
See? And there's some merit to that. So
who did you just say C to?
Yeah, I totally heard that. There was a lot of emphasis on the C.
Yeah. Again,
Spanish.
Why is this breaking down upon me? No, all I was saying is that there's a lot of fun in just going into the refrigerator and figuring out what you have.
Sure.
The fact that he even had Oktoberfest is mind-boggling.
Sitting in there for a year.
In Dave's case, it has a lot of flavonoids.
How can you have anything in your fridge for
all year? Oh, I have...
Have you cleaned your refrigerator?
You always keep the beer in the back.
Like, I have a really big fridge, and I use one of the crisper things as like a beer.
Oh, you have a crisper beer? I use that for Coke Zero and Fiji water. But that's apparently...
I just wanted to just get like stuffed in the back forever, so...
I just bought a beer fridge. Like, I have a little cube fridge thing that I throw in a corner, and I just throw beer in there. So mine's in there for 3 years. Because I buy a six-pack for the show, and I only drink two. So then I have this beer, then if I don't, I have to give it away, or else it grows the little sea monkeys.
Yeah, I think I might have to do that with the beer that I got.
See? The beer you stole?
What did you get?
What did he get? He did something similar.
What are you drinking?
We already went over this.
No, I was not here.
No, you've been here the whole time, remember?
All right, sorry, I've been here the entire time. Which of my beers did you steal?
Yes, that's the right question.
I only stole the Leinenkugel Oktoberfest.
Oh, okay. That's no big deal. I can find one of those. How was it?
It was good. I enjoyed that.
Okay.
He didn't.
Had the New Belgium Hoptober Golden Ale.
You did have that?
I did. I had half of it.
The one out of the fridge?
No.
Oh, okay.
I bought some that I got there. Oh, damn it. I already had one.
Okay. I was wondering. I mean, otherwise, I'll have to find some. You would probably like the Harvest Moon, Luke, just because you love Blue Moon. It's not quite as sweet. It's just a lot more. I don't know, it tastes like a darker beer. It's a darker Blue Moon. You'll like it.
I looked at that at Hy-Vee, but I decided not to go with it because it seemed too safe.
Because it's too close to your hometown of Blue Moon.
Yeah, I wanted to go with something different.
See, you went wild and crazy with Leinenkugels. The other Miller product.
I stole that from you.
Oh, okay.
But then I also had the Millstream Brewing Company Oktoberfest Lager.
Alone? I didn't like that.
The Millstream.
Feel free to jump in, guys.
Put him in.
I don't even know where to start.
I was going to say the Blue Moon Harvest Moon actually isn't that bad.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that out. I've had it before.
Come on, Doug. Bad. Just be honest with us. When Luke told you what he was drinking, you made either some sort of noise, So I didn't know if it was a noise of awesome, a noise of, oh, yeah, or a noise of, oh, my God.
I think it was a noise of, I'm so much better than that.
Yeah, that was, I think that, if let's
you
put
go
the,
see?
Let's have beer snob. Let's have beer snob versus beer snob. So, Doug, you tell me why you think that what Mike has is the worst beer he could have chosen.
Where do I start?
I don't know. At the beginning?
You can either deride me for choosing a Miller product or somehow convince me that a Kolsch was a better Oktoberfest beer.
He's stuttering. He doesn't even know what to say.
No, that's his internet connection.
No.
I wish.
I don't know where to start. No, there's no way that I could possibly say, yeah, you should definitely go for a Kolsch for a fucking Oktoberfest show, because that would make a lot of sense. But no, the Harvest Moon, A, it's when I say generic, I'm being kind. And B, there's got to be something somewhat local available to everybody.
No.
Iowa.
Unfortunately, you can't buy beer on Sundays in Minnesota.
Oh, Doug has
really?
That problem. Doug, don't you have that problem?
Because it's against
no, liquor.
Oh, liquor.
I have that issue with liquor. Unless I want to go out to a bar, and then it's all cool.
Yeah, I go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You see, then I can't really say anything because there are
circumstances beyond his control.
Issues that cannot be rectified within his control.
So. Okay, but what I'm hearing Doug say is that you find that this would be your staple Oktoberfest beer. It would be when you say generic, I think cookie cutter. Like, they did everything that you would do by a recipe to put out your own brew.
Yeah, but generic is just saying it's probably an approachable variation of this style of beer. I mean, you'd be like, oh, I don't know what a Oktoberfest or whatever beer would taste like. Who do I try out? You're not going to be overly offended by this beer because it's, you know, too hoppy or whatever.
Right.
I would completely agree on all fronts, but I would not consider it an Oktoberfest beer, but
no,
I would consider
it
a fall beer.
Oh, right.
It's a fall seasonal ale. Yep.
It's a seasonal. It falls in the same category as like the Pumpkinhead, where it's for the season, and it just happens that Oktoberfest is the same season as the seasonal beers.
And Oktoberfest is an actual style of beer, even though there's like a party, you know, Oktoberfest.
Right. And as Davis can attest to, they're not all probably drinking Märzen. They're drinking whatever they have in Munich at the time, or depending on what beer tent you're in. And in Dave's case, the one with the women that have the largest breasts. Did I say that?
Oh, I've seen. No. I've seen that picture with like the two guys with all the rest of the women on the roller coaster upside down. It's
what?
It's great.
What? Is this going to turn into another night where he sends us a bunch of 4chan pictures?
Oh, God, no.
He's not that drunk. So, but overall, it would be the safety beer. As I was saying, is if I go to the store, here's my problem, Mike, since you weren't here for this. If I go to the store, my fear is if I buy a seasonal beer, there's going to be three directions you can go. You can go, I'm just going to make a seasonal beer that's slightly different than my normal beer. I'm going to make one that's like, it tastes like I literally stuffed a pumpkin in my mouth and then sprinkled cinnamon in my eyes. Or there's going to be one that fits the more classic seasonal style with subtle hints of maybe some pumpkin or something that makes me think of some holiday, maybe raking the leaves or eating some turkey. So I don't want to hit the one that it tastes like I have a pumpkin in my mouth. I don't want another weird Magic Hat number 9. I want something that's got unique flavors. I'm going to go even further to say not what Doug would like, because what Doug wants is he wants his Reinheitsge Brot, like standard four ingredients. Don't throw fucking raspberries in my beer, I punch you in the nuts. I don't mind adding a little spice to it. I just don't want it to be over the top.
Sure. Well, this is pretty tame in terms of a fall seasonal. Again, it's just like a Blue Moon, not a sweet. Heavier on the malt, so it comes across as a darker beer. Of the Oktoberfest I've had recently, I would say that's the Sam Adams Oktoberfest is probably the best, just because it's different enough from the Boston Lager or any other regular lager beer to actually qualify as being seasonal. And that I guess that's with the Oktoberfest beers. Now with the pumpkin ales and those types of other fall seasonals, I'm brand new to that, but I had one called the Schlafly Pumpkin Ale, I think, in the past couple weeks here. And that just tastes like pumpkin pie liquidized, and it was absolutely amazing. So you got to kind of know in which direction you want to go. But there's, with the seasonal beers, the breweries are all having fun with what they can produce. So everyone's kind of going off in different directions. That's what makes it kind of exciting, is you can have all these different styles of beer at one time.
So you're not more traditional, like where I think Doug's argument was, look, we do traditional. This is what we drink. You can have tons of different hops, tons of different malts, tons of different yeasts, make something using this traditional rules. You don't mind varying from the norm to create something that's got a funny taste as long as you know what you're expecting.
I can't stand the Rye Heights Gebot. I hate lagers. They're not a beer that I like drinking at all. Boston lagers are the exception, and in this case, the Oktoberfests are a slightly darker, tastier version of a lager beer. So this is the time of the year I'll actually drink a lager. Otherwise, you will never see me holding, a Budweiser unless we're playing beer pong or something.
Whoa! Wait, you're equating lager to Budweiser?
Well, that's your typical light American lager.
American lager, yeah. When I think of lager, though, I don't think Budweiser. Perhaps.
Yeah, PBR. PBR never hurts,
yeah. Yeah. Well, what is the deal with that? Everybody who's a beer snob's like, oh, yeah, we'll give Pabst a pass, but fuck Budweiser.
No,
what's the deal?
It's flavored water. I mean, you can't really not... not just drink
it's beer. It's beer pong beer. I don't know.
Listen, there's a good. You know what? The best thing I've ever seen happen is somebody play beer pong with 1800 gold gold tequila, or reposado. That is funny to see. Budweiser. When I do beer pong, I drink stout. Is that wrong?
That's so much beer. I mean,
you're so doing it wrong.
Who cares? I like the taste. If I'm going to play beer pong, I'm going to use stout and Red Hook. I even used a double hop once, and everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. It was like a 20-ounce beer. What the fuck?
Don't matter. Plus, it's an expensive thing to do because you got to just drill through so many bottles of beer.
It's only expensive if you know when you bought it. It was just in my refrigerator. I don't know what it was.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, well, that's true.
It's got some flavor noise. No, that's funny. I didn't know you weren't a big fan of the lager beer. What you're really saying is you're not a fan of Budweiser.
Well, the typical light lager, adjunct lagers that use like rice and corn because they come off as having a very, like, with the diacetyl, you've got the fake sweetness.
Sake.
If I get like a local version of a lager, which, there's a few from Minnesota, they're okay, but there are many different styles of beer that I would prefer drinking, so I'm not going to spend my time on, say, a lager.
Do you see anybody?
I just want to say real quick, the saddest thing that has ever happened was we had a local brewery, Carolina Brewing Company in Holly Springs, North Carolina. They made a lager that was excellent. It was so good. And I was just coming around to local lagers and getting into drinking their lager when they discontinued it.
Because it's not Budweiser.
No, well, yeah, because, when people drink local beers, they're mostly drinking their seasonals and their ales, not their lagers. And it was one of the greatest beer travesties locally ever. And we've had a few.
That is sad. Should we take a moment of silence?
No, that's okay. Just click on my link.
Kirby Derby or what?
Kirby Derby! Do you guys think there's anybody that's trying to replicate the Budweiser, or you think people are smarter than that? Like, when you guys are looking for a drink, do you ever find anybody that actually tries to create a lager that has like a Budweiser appeal to it?
That could actually probably be hard to do. I would think a smaller brewery, like a hometown brewery, is actually going to use real malts and two-row barley as opposed to rice and corn. So on a certain level, it might be difficult to reproduce. But the other side of it is, how do you market or compete against that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you
or can. Why even try? Like, I was at, there's a local brewery, Brow Brothers Brewery. They have a restaurant called the Brow House. You go in there and they have all their beers on tap, and they came up with like their brand new version of a lager, and it was actually pretty decent. But all the local people, there's only 170 people living in the town, all the local people drink Coors as a lager, even though the brewery is in the town.
Epic fail.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
This is true. No, you can't.
They're too afraid to move out of their typical beers.
And you know what you couldn't even do? You couldn't even put raspberries in there. It's not going to be any better. Like, you can't. You wouldn't be able to make it. No amount of, maybe marketing would work, but you need to work really hard to compete against that. You can't. Those people are gone. They are a lost cause. What you need to do is you got to focus on everybody else. And unfortunately, if you've only got a small group of people in your town, that means failure, or you figure out how to buy some ice trucks and export it to another city. That's the only option.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? And I think that is the travesty, Doug, is that we don't have enough regional breweries that actually can compete against these big guys. Because those big guys aren't in, well, they're in Europe, but they're not as large because you have such small centralized regions that can build these breweries that everybody has had for 200 years before Budweiser even was imported to that country. So they've already got that, like, that grip there. Around here, Budweiser's existed since the 1800s. That's what we know, and they've perfected their recipe to what Americans want. So now what we have to do is we have to come up with these other breweries, these microbreweries, which are growing. And realistically, Sam Adams is the flagship microbrew that's not so microbrew anymore. They're the only ones we have to rely on.
Yeah. I would definitely say that Sam Adams is not a microbrew anymore. They're definitely a macrobrew. If you can have a beer from coast to coast without any limitation on where their territory starts and stops, then, you know, you can get it overseas, then, you know, that's not a microbrew anymore.
This is true. It's very large. But that's all we have to rely on. So if everybody starts to really gravitate towards the Sam Adams style brews, where they've got a little more flavor, a little more hops, a little more malts, a little more dynamics, then I think these other microbrews actually will have a chance to penetrate the market. And it could happen.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily going to change what Budweiser is.
No.
What Budweiser is doing at this point, because they're part of InBev, they're starting to market all the other beers that they now own and are, you know, like a parent company of. Like Hoegaarden, and all of a sudden is becoming a big thing because InBev decided, hey, Bud, you got to push this in the States so it becomes a thing. But it's never going to change what a Budweiser lager is.
No, it just makes them more money because now they can penetrate into other areas and say, look, we're imported. Imported is a great name to have on your beer. You have imported and you feel like you have style. And I think that there's InBev's huge. They have how many freaking labels? They've got over 40 different labels that they can go with.
Yep.
And but I still think if they could penetrate and dominate over a standard Budweiser, I think that would give people more respect for the Smutty Dog or Smutty Nose or whatever the hell it's called, been drinking. You know, the Shipyards, and they'd actually have more of a chance. Maybe we'll see that someday. But right now, it's Budweiser. What are you gonna do? Of course, whatever you get at a football game, that is the standard industry trend. It's not American. Do you guys have anything else that you can add to my Oktoberfest episode? Did we get everybody's beers in here?
Nothing I can
believe
so.
Fuck yeah. All right, Mike, what's your website again, Mike?
It's the Beer Genome Project. You can check it out at beergeno.me.
Now, why'd you go with ME? Oh, because you went with your... I figured it out. It took me about a week, oddly enough. But it's Genome, ME, Genome.
Genome, yep, yeah. Yep.
I was telling you, like...
A little easier to spell out instead of having something long in .com. Plus, the .com names are taken, but nobody was using the sites. They were just sitting on the domains.
Right. So, isn't that annoying?
Yeah. So we found that the .me was open. We're like, well, screw it. It's easier to type out anyway. Less characters on Twitter.
This is true. I'll link that into our episode notes so that other people could find out more stuff about if you're into maybe a little more beer snobbery, which if you're listening through this entire episode, there's only two reasons you listen is because you're waiting for us to say something stupid or you're waiting for us to say something knowledgeable.
Well, the first should not take very long.
No, but we're like on page number two for food and drink, so we're not doing so bad. We are.
My God.
There's only about 10 podcasts in iTunes that have food and drink coverage that are better than us. And some of those are like NBC, ABC stations. So does that not scare you right now?
It totally freaks me the fuck. Man, y'all need to get a life. Fuck.
No, they know exactly where they need to be. They need to be on everydaydrinkers.com.
That's... No, but yeah, they need to figure out, hey, what can we listen to that could potentially offend everybody?
We don't offend everybody, just most people.
We fucking offend everybody.
We're almost there.
We've never offended the average white
American.
I've
offended myself, okay?
Well, that's, yeah, that's true. That covers at least 2% of the population.
White dudes.
White dudes. Okay, well, since I think we've covered everything in, I don't know about everybody else who's been listening or who has been drinking, but I seriously have to pee. So... This is Derek Schomer for Mike. Wow, been drinking. For Mike at Beer Genome. That's beergenome.me.
Nice.
Doug, Kate, who else is here? We've got Luke. We won't say his last name because that's just playing a little different. We've got Mike, Kate, Dave, the behemoth. I think that's it. Behemoth? Nobody. Behemoth.
The Behemoth?
Yeah, you're like taller than me, so that makes you Behemoth.
Behemoth.
Yeah. Well,
not really.
Right. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Pronunciation fail.
Probably. Been drinking. Did I say that? You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can find us at everydaydrinkers.com. If you like cocktails, hey, check it out. My wife is on the latest few episodes of everydaydrinkers.tv, Common Man Cocktails. We're doing some light rum tastings. And Bacardi is kicking ass right now. We've already lost tons of fans because of that. But hey, it's a blind rum tasting. What am I going to do? Anyway, that is our show. I hope you like Oktoberfest beers. Go out, buy a Märzen. If you like pumpkin ale, you should go get a Shipyard Pumpkinhead Ale. Get yourself some Blue Moon. Doesn't matter if they're owned by the man. Just get out there and buy some seasonal beers. This is where the music rolls. That's Luke's job. What music are we supposed to use? You guys said something about music.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, cheers. Because everybody knows our name.
Did they know Luke's name?
Such a bastard.
Yeah, this I'm not stupid, just not very smart. Oh shit, I did that again. Oh, I'll leave it.
Ha.
Damn it.
That's comeuppance.
See, I never learned. If you're always on tape or whatever this is, that's a bad thing. So do I sound like really warm and awesome with my new equipment?
Sure.
Oh. Great. Skype really brings that up a notch. Never mind.
It does.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I've heard most people record new CDs and stuff on Skype, so.
Yeah, it's probably not how it rolls. A pumpkin beer.
Welcome to Pumpkin Fest.
Well, no, look, dude.
Where does that happen?
Pumpkin Fest happens in Keene, New Hampshire.
I thought it was in your pants.
Yeah, because I got a couple pumpkins in there, I'll show you. I carve them out for Halloween.
Oh, God.
Just seeing how far I could take that. I think I did pretty well.
Well played.
As far as possible.
I had a roll with it. You know, you don't want to be caught with your pants down or whatnot.
Or a pumpkin in your pants.
Right.
Without a uncarved. Carving.
You never want to have an uncarved pumpkin. Wow. You can do it.
Only if Derek stops talking.
I'm ready. Backed off for you. Oh, okay. I did.
Derek ever stop talking?
Not really, but usually it's not over top of something.
I just wanted to talk on top of you. I'm probably just stupid. I'm gonna chalk it up to stupid.
We usually could go with that.
You can go with stupid.
Yeah.
I will roll with that. I just looked up gory hole in the Urban Dictionary.
No! Kate, yeah. You never look up anything we say. That's bad for you.
Oh my god, people are so fucked up.
First off, the Urban Dictionary is user generated, so yeah. You're going to get things that you do not want to see that only exist in the mind of one other. But do you want to read anything off? I mean, we are explicit. No?
Well, while we're on the topic, hey, Kate, have you ever looked up your name on the Urban Dictionary?
Yeah, nothing good going on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
do me a favor.
That's about the only thing you should ever look up there.
Somebody used a term recently, and I wasn't sure exactly what it meant.
No, he sent you out right here.
Could you look up Blumpkin for me?
Is that with a B?
Yes.
Don't do it.
Okay. Blumpkin. Do it. Rhymes with pumpkin. It might be a pumpkin string.
A string of pumpkin?
Yeah, no, I can understand that one better than the other one I just read. Okay.
Well, the sad thing is one of the things that you do when you're blowing glass is there's a reburning furnace, which is called a glory hole. So whenever I say that, I get to look people that look at me funny.
Oh, what?
Oh, glory hole. I looked up glory hole. That was horrible. Let me see.
Don't look up the other one.
You looked
really
what?
Not much better.
Oh, God, that's different. Yeah, than when I looked up.
What did you look up?
Gory hole.
I don't even know what that is. Dave, report.
In your partner's somewhere, anywhere, and you stick your tongue in it.
I'm sorry. No, repeat that. I was completely half paying attention. What?
Okay. A flesh wound created for a sexual act in which one member cuts a slice into their willing partner's flesh, then proceeds to penetrate the wound with their tongue, finger, penis, or toe.
Wait. Go back to the toe for a second. What?
Ew.
Yeah, I know. Right. Cool. I thought that's what you were.
I try to be pretty open minded, but what the fuck?
I know. I just had to say, wow, I am so normal.
No, I think the appropriate term is what the dick.
That was the best email ever.
Oh no.
Well, I learned something new tonight, and I really wish I could unlearn it.
Yep. If you look up glory hole definition number 3, you that's pretty good. Anyway, well, you guys are doing that. First off, you drink wine.
You didn't even know what glory hole was.
He's a killer.
And you don't choke on whatever Doug was choking on as he's trying to say glory hole, which is, you know, there's some sort of joke there.
It hit you in the back of the throat again.
That was a joke I was thinking of. Doug, now are you done?
Goddamn mute thing on this.
Oh, we're going through that again. Oh my god.
There you go.
We need to get him one of the mute buttons where you could just put it in line with his mic so he could just hit the button.
I think it's a Fisher Price my first headset.
Oh, that's wrong. But still right.
Oh god.
Anyway, so and you done? Oh, yeah, you're still choking.
Yeah, no, I got so many problems.
All right,
hold on. All right, sorry.
All right,
I'm back.
Ready? What do you mean you're back? You didn't go anywhere.
I mean, I'm back and ready to, you know,
contribute in a positive way.
Thanks. Yes.
Yes.
If this podcast doesn't end with the Cheers theme song, I'm going to be disappointed.
Because everybody knows your name, Doug.
Actually, Luke, you should backtrack that to Derek's last speech.
That would certainly be a lot easier than taking Dave and interjecting him into the previous episode.
Yeah, that didn't work so well.
Which I don't know if you listened, Dave, but yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah,
I didn't listen, but I'm sure it wasn't good.
No, we didn't end up doing it. We just threw you in like we normally would.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. Good, good.
And we kept all the references to the whole, you know, oh yeah, because I've been here the whole time, because that's funny.
We left in all the comic value.
Yeah.
Because
it showed up for the last, 10 minutes?
Exactly. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's what we do here. In October, it's usually brewed like a reddish amber Märzen. Wait, what? I didn't know.
You're
reading into my word.
You can suck it. That's all I'm saying.
What I was
totally interpreted that.
Eat a bag
too.
Of dicks, right?
You guys are reading into some shit here.
A 10-pound bag of dicks.
No. Okay. Wow. Wait. What?
Right in the gory hole.
What is it?
Or if we didn't just read the show notes, I have notes on my notes.
Yeah, but you read most of those. I was falling off.
Not my notes on my notes.
No? Oh, I didn't read your notes on your notes. You had notes on your notes?
I have notes on my notes.
Oh, excellent.